Welcome to the Jewish Diasporas, a podcast exploring the political, social, and cultural implications of life in diaspora. We are two of your hosts, Jordan Janowitz
and Zach Smarin. It has been quite a few busy weeks for us on the podcast. We will bring you a fresh new episode next week, but we didn't want to leave you without anything for this week, and thus we were presented with an opportunity to do something we have wanted to do for quite a while.
Today, we are re-releasing something we had to delete, a discussion we had with artist and former University of Oregon Hillel organizer Alana Green. This was also an announcement of them joining the organizing group of the Jewish Diasporas to podcast. However, Alana had to withdraw due to time constraints after a few months, though they still remain a dear friend of the show.
This conversation, which was originally recorded in November 2023, was the introduction for our 19th episode, which was a Global Jewish Student Democracy, in which we interviewed the president of the World Union of Jewish Students, also known as WUJUS. A few months later, we were contacted by WUJUS and asked to republish the conversation without the intro with Alana. Admittedly, we don't usually preface our discussions with a 20-minute intro, and so we obliged and republished episode 19 without it. However, the timing of us being asked to was rather interesting. It came right after my participation in the WUJUS annual conference at the turn of the year. I still haven't made the episode I wanted to make on that gathering, but I'll get around to it soon. There's quite a bit to talk about.
That being said, this was an exciting discussion, as each of us has our own stories in navigating the complex and apparently apolitical spaces that are mainstream Jewish university institutions. This isn't the first time we've discussed our experiences in these spaces. If you've listened to our first episodes, you will know about our efforts of engaging in the very democratic decision-making undertaken at the Union of Jewish Students, the British and Irish affiliate of WUJUS.
We will continue to look into international Jewish student organizations such as WUJUS and Hillel International, as it is important to discuss the cultural and institutional difficulties faced by Jews who feel compelled to speak out against dogmatic Zionism, as well as the various ways we have engaged both within and outside of these mainstream environments to create Jewish spaces where we can all find belonging.
Thank you so much to our Patreon donors. If you like what we do on the show, please consider leaving us a rating on your podcast platform of choice. Consider supporting us on Patreon, follow us on Instagram, and share our contact with your communities.
And subscribe to us on YouTube. With all of that out the way, we hope you enjoyed this rather short conversation. This intro is a little bit longer than the other ones that we usually do for a few reasons. Partially, this conversation is a little bit shorter. We have people that we want to introduce, and we also have some experiences to share from Hillel. If you want to go directly to the conversation with Yana, check the description. There'll be a timestamp over there. Since we started this podcast, the Jewish Diasporist was really a pet project with me and Ben. But with the growth that we've seen, we have the desire to take this to the next level. For that, we needed more people to come and join us in this endeavor. And we are very, very happy to announce some people that are joining the permanent team of the podcast for now. And we would like to introduce them to you.
Hey, everyone. My name is Alana Green. I use they, them pronouns. I'm really excited to be a part of the Jewish Diasporas podcast. I know the Janowitz twins, Twin Z, who will introduce the other one in a minute, from my work at Camp Newman. And I'm just a leftist, really involved and caring about the Jewish future. So I'm excited to be on this podcast and be working in more of a behind the scenes social media type stuff. So like and subscribe and engage and bring our numbers up, you know? So yay.
And hi, everyone. I'm Jordan Janowitz, twin brother of Ben Janowitz, longtime host of this show. And I am here to help bring some extra perspectives, help with some of the editing, and to really ground our exploration of Jewish life in diaspora within the human experience. I'm an ecologist, as you might have heard in the episode on the ecology of love, and I'm really here to help bring another voice that comes from a different perspective to this podcast and help make this thing effective. And I'm really happy to be here.
And we're so happy to have both of you here, Alana and Jordan, of course, Zach. It's really been such a pleasure to be able to work with you guys. And I'm really excited to see where this will go in the next few months, years, who knows. So in the conversation that will follow this, we talked a lot about Yana's familial history, but we didn't go in as much depth on the World Union of Jewish Students. The World Union of Jewish Students is a really interesting organization that actually does not have an American branch, at least not a full-fledged American branch. So for many listeners who are in the U.S., you may not really even know anything about this organization. But if you listen to episode 2 or 13 and 14, we talked about the UJS, the British Union of Jewish Students, and the European Union of Jewish Students. Both of these are affiliated to the World Union of Jewish Students, but are very different from a similar organization we have in the US, which is Hillel. It's about 100 years old. The first president was one Albert Einstein. I am just seeing that Hillel was actually a year older than the World Union of Jewish Students. But what made the World Union of Jewish Students unique and different is that the World Union of Jewish Students, unlike Hillel, which was founded in 1923, is a, at least ostensibly, democratically organized student organization. So as we talked about in regard to UJS and the European Union of Jewish Students, they have conferences where either individuals or delegates vote on behalf of policy that are proposed by students, and that sets the policy of the organization, which is something that we don't have or see in Hillel, which is unfortunate. And we love democracy. When the World Union of Jewish Students was founded in 1924, they were largely trying to understand how anti-Semitism was evolving and growing in that moment, and to be able to have a space for Jewish students from across Europe mostly, to be able to come together and talk about this. And you had early president Albert Einstein really helped make this an institution that was the front edge of Jewish student organizing. And it actually preceded the World Jewish Congress by 12 years, which was a similar organization, but not just students. And when it was originally founded, it was arguably diasporist. It was designed, a lot of what it was doing was creating space for Jewish students in Eastern Europe to be able to try to support them coming to places where anti-Semitism wasn't as much of a real threat in the day-to-day. But in more recent years, it has actually been a lot more Zionist in its international outlook. One of the early presidents was David Ben-Gurion. One of the early vice presidents was Chaim Weizmann. It's been very much focused on connecting Jews to Israel. And in 2017, the majority of funding for the organization comes from the Jewish National Fund and the World Zionist Organization. And about 300,000 of the 800,000 students represented belong to the National Union of Israeli Students. That said, it plays a very important role by allowing Jewish students to be able to actually have a democratic space to organize as Jewish students. And in the 1960s, it served as a major venue for radical Jewish student politics. And we do believe it still can. We don't have an American equivalent, but it does have the potential to be a space that can let us really have critical discussions about the political and cultural nature of our communities, and to be able to have students actually engage and help create the communities to look like they want them to look like. And that's different from Hillel. Hillel is much more top-down. And I know Jordan and Alana, you both have experience organizing Hillel. I was wondering if you could say a little bit about the significance of that lack of democracy is within that organization from your experience.
Okay, so I was very involved in the Oregon Hillel Foundation, which is kind of a joint Hillel in between the Oregon State University Hillel and also the University of Oregon Hillel. So just by nature of us doing joint events a lot, I was really familiar with the Oregon State University's Jewish population as well, if they were involved in Hillel. I was the student board president my senior year at Oregon, which was academic year 2017 to 2018. And it was definitely an interesting time to be a Jewish student leader on campus. It was fresh out of the 2016 election. I think people were really just wanting to do something with their minority status. And I think a lot of Jews on campus felt very seen by Hillel and just like uplifted throughout their time going to school at Oregon, at least that I've seen. So I also did a lot of work with the cultural board. I was essentially the head of six or seven other Jews who were on the programming board. We planned events, we did general student outreach, donation drives, things of that nature. It was difficult because Hillel was definitely a place for for Jewish students at Oregon, I remember my director would always be tabling at introduction, which was like the intro to freshman year. So it was like, okay, well, you know, here's this Jewish student table. And here's this really cool guy who's amazing. Hi, Andy. Shout out if you're listening. I would love to talk to you about this episode. It was really involved, but also like University of Oregon has like 50,000 people attending it in some way, shape, or form. I don't know the numbers now, but at least if I was there, it was also very difficult to organize across the campus just with knowing how many people there were versus how many Jews versus how many of those Jews at Oregon were walking through our doors. So it was a lot of, I'm here, hello, what's up, everybody? And then there would be like random Jews who, of course, would show up on high holidays and I would not know who they were. So it was a great experience and also not without plenty of conflict, which I will go into, but I kind of want to hear what Jordan's involvement was.
Yeah, thanks for passing that to me, Alana. I attended UCLA, which, unless I'm mistaken, is actually the largest and maybe the best funded Hillel in the United States. This is another really large school, around 40,000 people with a pretty large Jewish population. And similar to Alana, Hillel has a presence at every single new student orientation. It's really a place that tries to get every Jewish student on campus involved. They also have their own activities fairs with lots of these internal Hillel clubs. And I actually was one of the directors of one of these clubs. It was called Chai on Life, a Jewish alternative Shabbat nature-oriented club. We would go on hikes, lead camping trips, and all sorts of different outdoor activities. And the purpose of that was to create Jewish community. I think that's really the overarching goal of WUJIS, of Hillel, but at the same time, there's lots of other goals that get shoehorned into Jewish student life, especially in Hillel, where it comes from the top down. My experience with Hillel was pretty common to Jewish students at UCLA, going to a few Shabbats. I went to a first year student retreat, and I think only really in 2021, which was 3 years into my UCLA experience, did I start becoming disillusioned with Hillel. And that's because there was a war in Gaza that happened in 2021, and the UCLA student government put out a resolution condemning Israel for their actions, and it did not mention any actions that any Palestinians might have taken. And the UCLA Hillel, from the top down, was vehemently supporting the idea that this resolution was inherently anti-Semitic. And I know a handful of Jewish students, some of which were on boards of Hillel at the time, and really became disillusioned, alienated from that community. It became really difficult to voice our opinions within Hillel, within student government, as Hillel tried to put itself out there as the only voice of Jewish students on campus. They had presidents of Hillel, two of which were my roommates at the time, go to the student town halls that did this, and I have some friends who are on one side, and I have some friends who are on the other side, and it made it really difficult to talk about these things with people whose views I didn't agree with so much. And out of this, I helped form an organization called the Jewish Student Union, the JSU. It was a very short-term organization, but we just really wanted to create a space that was non-Zionist. We weren't explicitly anti-Zionist. We weren't explicitly a liberation activist organization. It was just a space that was outside of Hillel and was able to advocate for justice for all people rather than trying to take a vehemently Zionist position. And we held a Passover Seder with like around 40 people that year, which was really beautiful. And it was really compelling and moving to see that there is a Jewish community that has been alienated from Hillel. And that's really my experience with Hillel, recognizing that this is a fundamentally top-down funded and also managed organization. They say they have a lot of student leaders, but those student leaders are getting trained to have one particular perspective, and deviation from that is really not gonna be welcomed within those spaces. Alana, does that resonate with your experience at Hillel in Oregon?
Yeah, I would definitely say it resonates. For me, it was really interesting because even before I was on student leadership board, I was just very involved in Hillel in general. Most of the time, the most people we saw come through the doors were like on Shabbat services, and I was a song leader, so I naturally kind of just led services every week and pretty much knew the faces of people who were in Shabbat services. So yeah, it was definitely interesting, because, you know, I'll be the first to admit it, I went on Birthright in 2016. I was really, really excited at the time to go to Israel. I had never been, but also it was based off of the knowledge that I had gained from going to Zionist Jewish summer camps throughout my whole childhood. By no fault of anyone, you know, I had a great time at summer camp. I made some of the best friends of my life. And also, it's been such an interesting thing to reflect on how such a wonderful place can also be the source of so much. When I started reading more about leftist politics and getting really involved with abortion rights access in Eugene and in general anti-cop protests in Eugene, I was really involved in Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA. They had a student organization on campus that was formerly kind of U of Students for Bernie. And then inevitably when that campaign ended, it was just a whole lot of leftists who were trying to still do activist work in the Eugene area. So I ended up just like in that student group while also being on Hillel board at the same time. And those two interactions were just absolutely crazy, because on one hand, I had a whole bunch of people in DSA meetings who the second they found out I was Jewish, assumed I was Zionist. I didn't even have the words for why that assumption could have been problematic at the time, because I was still unlearning my own internalized Zionist politics, right? But also there were Jews who were in that room with me who were not necessarily involved in Hillel, but were in DSA, were some other type of marginalized person who was just like trying to get involved in leftist causes. So it was interesting because I had the experience of going on Birthright, coming back from that, feeling insane by what I saw. And also when I was the student board president, it was like I was literally the student face of Hillel. And then suddenly there was a BDS resolution introduced by the ASUO, the Associated of University of Oregon Students. And at the time, it's really similar, Jordan, like to what you were saying about how there were a lot of Jewish student leaders who were suddenly expected to speak out to condemn BDS. You know, what does this remind us of? All these calls of like, oh, you got to condemn Hamas, you got to condemn all the atrocities. And it's just like, okay, I am totally understanding. You know, Hillel at Oregon my senior year was vandalized. Literally, people put Free Palestine on the side of the building. And I remember sitting there looking at that graffiti outside being like, I don't necessarily feel safe, but not for the clutching pearls. I don't feel safe type of a way. I don't feel safe in the sense that I think we are having two different conversations in the wrong place, if that makes sense. And, you know, I remember specifically having a conversation after that graffiti happened, which was literally the same week as the BDS resolution was supposed to be passed, with my Hillel director. And I was just like, I don't really understand why they are blaming all Jews for these horrible things that are happening as a direct result of the Israeli government, as a direct result of the Israeli occupation, blah, 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 blah. And I remember so clearly the look on my Hillel director's face. And he looked at me and he was like, Alana, there are people who have been in my office in the past couple of days who have seen you speak out in support of BDS and tell me that I should kick you off of student board. And I'm not going to do that because I believe that that is wrong, first of all, but it's also completely disingenuous to me and your relationship. I believe you're a strong student leader. Why would I kick you off of board anyway? We can disagree on politics, and I still think you bring a great deal to Hillel as the president. And I bring this story up because at the same time, he can have that conversation with me, uplift me, but yet I'm sitting here feeling like, well, if we have to have this conversation in the first place, am I necessarily being fully supported here? I don't actually think so. So I don't know. I kept going to these hearings about the BDS resolution, which inevitably was not passed because at the time, University of Oregon president was named Michael Schill, and he was known around Oregon as just like a Zionist guy, like always would be at General Eugene Temple meetings and things like that. Like he knew me. And like, I remember making eye contact with the president, like at this, it was like exactly like you just talked about, Jordan. It was like, I'd see people who I knew at Shabbat services being like, I stand with Israel. Why would you ever say anything against Israel? Why would you ever want to pass a BDS resolution? And then it's just like people like me who are actually could tell you what BDS stands for. Like, do you know? It's just like a difference between fear of what we don't actually understand and like just, well, what are we trying to fight for here? And meanwhile, all of my friends were seniors and I'm inevitably checked out and they're like, why do we care so much about this resolution? Blah, blah, blah. One, it's like, okay, well, we could actually have an impact by divesting from whichever corporation. I apologize, I don't know which ones we were actually trying to divest from, but I do know that U of O still has plenty of those contracts up. I'm pretty sure they have a Raytheon contract. So there's that. I bring all of this to light just for context, because I think that when we think about who has the power, it's always, you know, where the money decisions are being made. And a big part of my job as a student board president was I would sit at the governing board meetings and I would be the only student representative at these meetings. And it would just be a whole lot of people who genuinely cared about the future of the Jewish education and just the Jewish life on campus at Oregon. And some of the people on that board were former students, but also a lot of people were shared roles with the governing board at Temple Beth Israel, which is another reform shul in Eugene. They might be reconstructionist. I apologize. I don't know. But regardless, there are places that I definitely felt like I was supposed to say a certain type of thing. I definitely think it's ironic that on Hillel International's website at the bottom, it says for every Jew, because the second that you start to have an experience outside of what Hillel envisions Jewish life on campus, you know, since that's their scope to be, it's suddenly not for you anymore. And I think that that's just going to be an interesting precursor to hear about what the WUJS could look like.
A little point that I want to just add there is that there is another country that doesn't have a national Jewish student union and in which any sort of Jewish student or youth communal life is dominated by Hillel. And that is Poland, actually. Shout out to all of my friends in the Krakow and Warsaw Hillels, Błażej and Klementyna. Hello. And I think that these are obviously radically different conditions. And I think, you know, in situations where it's a struggle for resources, it's a struggle to be able to create that kind of communal environment, it is a good job. Oh, of course, a shout out also to Maria Hershova, who was one of our first guests in episode 4.
Who we met at the Krakow Hillel.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's a struggle for resources, but it's also, I've mentioned this point to them before about the question of democracy, the question of decision making. And I think it's important. I think that if we're thinking about vibrant Jewish communities around the world, then those communities need to be democratic, not just at the student level, but in adult life as well, so to speak. We should leave it at that. We should move on to the interview. But it's certainly worth talking more about Hillel in the future. And I think there's a lot of points that we haven't discussed here. The Open Hillel campaign was an interesting initiative about 10 years ago. It's not so much a thing anymore, but certainly worth considering.
The societies we live in are organized in very top-down ways. This means that most people struggle to really conceive of what real democracy should feel like, even in liberal democratic states. Student politics have particular significance because they educate the next generation in how one does politics. While the democratic processes of WUJS and its affiliated unions may be imperfect, they offer a vital avenue to empower individuals and collectives to pursue change within the institutions which shape their lives. As socialists, we strive to help create a deeply democratic society, which takes work institutionally and interpersonally to realize. As diasporists, we are committed to the democratization of Jewish life wherever it exists.
We are beautiful people.